Welcome to Hanging with the Haysmans. I'm Jess.
And I'm Alexander.
And each week you can tune in to truly hang out with us. We're ditching the perfectly curated content and giving you the raw, real-life conversations about the fun stuff, the hard stuff, and everything in between.
With that being said,
let's hang.
All right, what are we talking about today?
Breastfeeding.
Do I need to be here for this?
You know, I actually thought about doing this on my own, but I feel like you'll have good questions about the journey and things that I wouldn't think about because it was my journey. It was mine and Adeline's journey for the most part. So I feel like there's a lot of things that I know. I'm going to cry.
I'm not.
That you'll be able to like pull out of me. Because we recently weaned Adeline. Her last time breastfeeding was basically on her birthday, I want to say. I remember like putting her to sleep. I'm really jumping the gun. I wanted to start at like day one, but I remember putting her to sleep and I was like, okay, I'm going to cuddle her. I'm going to like switch things up. And she wasn't asking for milk. And I was like, as time was going, I was like, she still hasn't asked for it. And I was like, started to like get really emotional. And then all of a sudden she was like, milk. And I was like, oh, thank God. And like at that point, you know, it was like such a small nursing session that like, whatever. But then the next day she didn't ask for milk and I was a little bit more prepared. And then, I mean, it's now been over a week since the last time she has nursed.
I have a video of you crying about this because I could hear, I knew that you were planning on it. You were telling me that she's not really eating. She's just kind of doing it for comfort, not really getting a lot. So I was just kind of waiting up there with you. And I don't know if you were singing or whatever was going on, but I could tell you're getting very emotional around it.
Before we dive into it, I really do that the weaning process and the whole thing has spurred a lot of questions, but I wanted to kind of like go back and talk about our whole journey because I think the whole breastfeeding journey was really beautiful and I want to talk about the whole thing.
Can we just finish that last thought or try? Sure. So at this point, even though you are currently crying and you were currently crying then, you wanted to stop feeding her for an extended period of time because you were in so much pain. You were so uncomfortable and she was just sucking you dry as far as like nutrients and everything like that. So like, even though you were in a very bad place with breastfeeding, you still didn't want to stop. All right.
Back I was going to say beginning. That didn't make sense because
what do you mean?
Okay. Well, like, do you want me to talk about that? Because I want to talk about that at the end of the podcast.
Well, let's talk about it. Great teaser. Wonderful teaser. We'll clip it. Clip it. Okay. Whoever the editor is, remember this.
Okay. So, breastfeeding journey. Prepared myself ahead of time. While I was pregnant, followed a ton of accounts on breastfeeding, talked to a ton of people. Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm just trying to think of, like, what... Because, like, for me, preparing is, like, doing things. So, but...
Weird. Did I not just say things that I was doing?
Well, but no, as in like you couldn't like fake breastfeed. So
but so these accounts were really helpful because they would talk about, you know, positions to breastfeed the baby in and support and resources that you could find and things like that. So I tried to like educate myself and prepare myself as much as possible because I had heard people say, you know, like it was way harder than I expected. So I went into it being like, okay, I am going to breastfeed. Like I'm set. My heart is set on breastfeeding and I want to make sure that I'm set up for success as much as possible. And, so when we had Adeline, that was like my, like she came out and I immediately put her near my breast. Like I was like, okay. And at that point, I think I was like leaking colostrum when I was actually like a couple of days before I went into labor.
Oh, okay. I thought, yeah.
Cause like I knew like there's some in there. So I was putting her near my, near it. And I realized like, she is a tiny, tiny little baby. Like your boobs are massive when you give birth. And I was like, how is this even going to work? And I remember like she did like figure it out and like started to latch and whatnot. But I remember like when the nurse came in, she was like, you really got to shove that boob in their mouth, and like shoved it in her mouth. And I was like, oh my God. Like it was way.
Was this something that you learned earlier or like,
no,
that wasn't so, like, talked about?
I knew like, I don't know. I just like didn't realize, you don't realize how tiny your little baby is going to be.
Gotcha.
And like, how much of the breast they need to really be able to like,
because latch it, the right it way. Needs to, the nipple needs to be close to the back, right?
Yeah, they have to have like the full, like more than your nipple in there,
because there needs to be suction.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It needs to be like a full latch, so yeah, that they're not like getting air with the sucking, and that, so what they're working, they're getting the milk out. So okay. Yeah. But yeah, besides that, like little bit, like that was a little bit mm-hmm. shocking. Besides that, it was like a very good journey. At one point in the hospital, they did want to, they yeah. did push supplementing her, which don't even remember like the so, details.
So
of it.
What happened was they weighed her. Okay. She went down in weight and they're like, hey, that's normal, but let's give her this anyways to get her back up.
And yeah, they wanted to give formula, and I was yeah. like, oh no, I'm breastfeeding.
Yeah.
Which, like, right there is just makes me nauseated that, like, they, a tired mom who just gave birth and, like, someone says, oh, we should give your baby formula, you're going to be like, okay, like,
and, a professional is telling me this.
Right. Yeah. The doctor says to do this, like, I should be doing this. And, like, because I educated myself, like, knew this is the path that I wanted to go down, and I was a little bit more resistant,
mm-hmm.
but it just pains me because so many people are not resistant
and we were,
do what they're told. And yeah. it's like, why at that point there was not a need for it? Why were you pushing formula when I told you strictly, like, my birth plan specifically said 900 times that I am breastfeeding, yeah. you know? I don't know. That bugged me. And then when,
so why do you think that they push it so much?
I don't know. I think because it's easy. And like they said, like, I don't know. I wish I knew. I truly don't. I just don't. I get so frustrated, like, thinking about things like that, because it's like so much of the birth process for me to have a natural unmedicated birth was me pushing back.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Yeah.
Why for me to have the least intervention possible required me to advocate for myself like no other
mm-hmm.
in a hospital. Why?
So my
why isn't it the opposite? Why isn't it that, like, if you want intervention, you have to ask for it?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
So my belief around that is hospitals, I mean, you're watching the show right now. Hospitals are relatively new. The reason why our mortality rates, they're like, oh, people only used to live till they're 65, 70, whatever, like at such a young age, is because so many babies died. So mm-hmm. I think that we, just like in medications, we are on the safe side. Safest place for any traumatic thing is the hospital. Like for the masses, absolutely go to the hospital. Death rates for babies go down for sure, 100%. But is that right for everybody? I don't think so. So I think in regards to you, even though we were in a midwifery, even though you had a birth plan, it's just something that they're not used to. And on top of that, they were like, oh, you would be a good candidate for a home birth. It's just, it's very, they're doing what's normal for them. And I just feel like that's why in their minds, if someone's low on weight, let's give them an easy way to increase on weight.
Yeah, I think that keyword is easy. And I think that's what it is most people want the easy solution. And that's why they offered it.
Because
you had asked me that question of why do you think they, you know, even offered it. And I think because it's easy. And mm-hmm. they didn't know that I was the mom that wanted to struggle to get to the end point that I wanted.
Yeah. And
because not every patient is like that. So many patients are not like that. So that mm-hmm. does make sense. We're like, I had to push back because I wanted to push. I wanted to push for what I wanted.
Right.
So we ended up, like, at one point they were like, you have to put hand express into a spoon to get it down because they're not drinking enough, or Addie was not drinking enough. And I felt like I felt like a terrible person. Like, I'm pouring this spoonful into my tiny little newborn's mouth and she's gagging and like choking and like,
which, how many drips did she need? Like, very
it
minimal.
Was the colostrum, yeah, so she yeah. needed like three little drops in this yeah. tiny spoon, but it was like and like I was just like, oh my god, and I'm like holding her head, like I felt like I was like force feeding her. I yeah. did not feel comfortable with it, and right away was like, I think I did it twice and was like, I'm not feeling this, and like went back to solely nursing, breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I met with a lactation specialist, and that's when they showed me to really shove my boob in there, and like we worked. And
when do you feel like you started getting a good latch, and how could you tell?
I don't know, because I don't, like, truthfully, I don't think that it was like a bad latch. I honestly just felt like it was like a learning process for Adeline mm-hmm. and me. Like, okay, I'm gonna hold my boob like this, and like I could see that she was more comfortable, and she would like, she wants to figure out the most efficient way. So like she had to kind of figure it out. But like, so like I've heard story after story of like having latch issues, and I don't think we ever did have like a true latch issue, because it was so quick that she figured out how to eat and she ate fine.
Gotcha. So you pretty early on felt pretty comfortable just wherever
yeah.
that you were going to be able to feed her.
Yeah.
That's nice.
I think that like when the lactation consultant came in, it was like, here we can improve it. Like we can make minor improvements.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like, she's not getting milk because you're latched incorrectly, because she was getting milk. She was getting the colostrum. She was nursing. It was just like, here, we're going to make it better. We're going to improve it.
So we're going to be going through this again, and I have blocked this out.
With her second baby.
Yeah. What's the schedule like?
I think they eat every like 2 hours in the beginning, the first day.
That's so needy.
Yeah. Well, so that's one part of the journey that's interesting is, so like we said, we had a really beautiful beginning. Like we didn't struggle a lot. We nursed, I nursed on demand. She slept in the bassinet right next to us. When she'd wake up, I would nurse. And the nursing on demand was incredible because I was around, I, you know, work from home. I had, he's dipping out of the conversation.
Well, no, I'm just, my ears.
Okay. So we never really did bottles at some, I had pumped and like would use the Haka to like catch my excess, and like we saved milk. We never really used it because we never really did bottles because I was always around. And that's something that we've talked about with the second baby, is like potentially doing some type of bottle feeding, just so that when necessary and when we want to, I have the ability to be away from the baby, which I didn't have with Adeline. It is going on 2 years now, and I've never left her overnight. And it probably took me 9 months to leave her for more than an hour and a half. Like, she was old before I had, and I still, I think the longest I've been away from her is like maybe 3 or 4 hours.
I remember you went out to a lunch once, and then one was a night thing, and she was crying both times when you came back.
Yeah.
Because she was hungry.
And I think that's like the biggest thing that will change, is that like, not that I want, you know, like you to take nights and do bottles every night. Like, I just want to have it be like, you know, every other day you do a bottle so that she's aware of it and mm-hmm. like knows how to do it. Because I think the separation is important. And another thing that we did with the nursing on demand was, every single time Adeline was upset, no matter what, nursing was her comfort. So now, that was one of the big things with her nursing until she was 2 years, was so much of it was for comfort, because she got so much comfort from nursing.
You would think she'd be overweight then.
I know. You would. Yeah, no, she never was. But like, that's what she was. It wasn't like a long nursing session where she was getting her calories and like really working. A lot of the nursing was like, oh, she's crying, we need to nurse her. Oh, she woke up, we have to nurse her. And it was, every single time she was ever upset as a baby, nursing was the answer, which was such a good answer to have. Like, it was nice. Like,
do you think she wasn't hungry, or you're just saying it doesn't need to be every time?
I don't think that she was hungry. And I think like looking back, I think making an attempt, like, let's check the other things. Does she have a wet diaper? Does, like, will soothing and, you know, rocking her make her happier? You know, are there three, like, let's spend 30 seconds, you know, is it something else? Can we rub her back? Can we rock her? Can we soothe her in a different way? Because then that adds someone else to the situation where, like, for Adeline, there was no other way to soothe her. It was me. So, like, there was that, the breastfeeding became such a tool. Don't want to use a negative word. What'd you say?
Tool.
I was going to say burden, because it was like, now I'm fully responsible for ever soothing her when she's upset, for bedtime, for nap time. Like, I became her, like, I guess, like, it was just like, I couldn't have any type of help ever. Like, even you think of something like as minuscule as, like, she'd, my mom or your mom would be holding her and, like, playing with her or whatever, and then she'd get upset and, like, they couldn't even, you know, rock her to soothe her. Mm-hmm. Or if they did, it was, like, way harder than a normal baby, because Adeline just expected, I'm crying, I should get the boob.
Gotcha.
And I felt like it was like, with this next one, who knows? Maybe that was just Adeline, and, you know, maybe I'm micro analyzing it, but, like, looking back, I'm like, huh. Like, maybe if we would have let her, you know, fuss just a little bit, she would have, like, learned to be better at laying on her own in the crib. Mm-hmm. Like, instead of immediately going in there and being like, oh, here's the boob, here's mom. Like, 2 years later, she was still looking to me and nursing as her comfort because of...
Do you think that was because you didn't want to let it go?
The nursing?
Yeah.
Oh, no, not at all.
No. Okay.
I think so much of it was, it had been her only form of comfort for so long.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's something that, looking back, like, especially in that initial, like, well, I'm talking like when they're really little, just with the second baby, I guess, like, I'm not just talking about Adeline's journey, because we had such a wonderful journey. Like, I feel like I had spent, like, we spent so much time. Nursing was great. She was on a wonderful schedule. Like, I would say up until a year and a half, it was immaculate. Like, the journey was absolutely beautiful. I just think that, like, if I could make an improvement, it would be...
Absolutely.
...be adding that in.
As far as eating went at the beginning, did you have an appetite back? Or how was that?
At postpartum?
Yeah.
Yeah, your mom made lasagna. Your mom came and cooked for us. My mom had all those freezer meals for us. We ate a ton.
I remember I put on 20 pounds. But I'm trying to remember how it was for you.
I had like the cart full of snacks.
Okay.
That Bali ate. Remember?
What?
Remember that snack that I left open and had raisins or something in it?
Trying to kill my dog?
I don't remember what it had in, but Bali had gotten into it. Yeah, no, I felt great. And I mean, during those initial months when I'm breastfeeding on demand like crazy, I ate a ton. I drank a ton of water.
How did your body hold up while being in that crunched over position for so long?
Oh, gosh. Just brutal. I had gone back to the chiropractor, and part of me kept saying, especially like immediately postpartum, I was like, you know, I breastfed, I had the support, but I'd be like in bed or like in a chair. And like, you just try to kind of get comfortable. And because I was breastfeeding so much, it was like, I didn't always like sit in a good position with my feet planted and like, you know, my core engaged and stuff. So like, I was just like, you don't realize how much time you're breastfeeding and how much time you're in this position, but it adds up. And like, taking the time to get into a good position is like so critical. Looking back after 2 years of breastfeeding, those first months, like even now, I mean, I've spent, just imagine the hours that I've spent like holding from a tiny little baby to like now a full grown toddler in my arms, hunched over, holding them, breastfeeding.
What was your favorite place to breastfeed?
I think it changes because when she was like tiny, tiny, I just loved the postpartum period where like I didn't get out of bed and we just were in there. As she got older, I loved like side lying and like she would just be in bed breastfeeding on either side of my boob and okay. I would just turn on over. I loved the side lying. And then now that she's a toddler, she would sit up. Like she would have her legs around my waist and yeah. sit up and breastfeed. And that was the most comfortable.
So like chair wise, like was the couch better? Was the lazy boy better? Did it switch during those times?
Definitely switched. Okay. Yeah. I would say like so much of our breastfeeding happened like on the go. Like we were like, you know, at my mom's house or your mom's house or like at a friend's house. And like I was wearing a sling or, you know, like it was so much of part of our life. I mean, for 2 years I've been breastfeeding. So it's definitely.
Did I know there was the one time, but did you ever have a hard time producing other than that one time?
Oh, wow. I didn't even think to include that in this. So, yes. So there's obviously periods of cluster feeding, which like when Adeline was sick or teething or, I don't know, just really needy at some points, like going through a progression or whatnot, she would cluster feed like crazy. And it's like when they're feeding like that, it's like, yes, it's telling your body you need to produce more, but it's almost just for comfort. And for most of it is for comfort, I would say, especially when she's like sick and whatnot. So like there would be times where like, I'm like, I know there's nothing left in my boobs and she would still nurse because it was that feeling and that closeness that we had.
So what is she getting when there's nothing there?
Probably nothing. It's probably like sucking on a pacifier, but like your nipple is the original pacifier. Like they make pacifiers to replicate nipples because it's that soothing sucking motion. So for so long, like when she was like in the middle of the night, when she would wake up or like couldn't sleep from teething, like she would nurse for an hour and there's no hours worth of milk in there when she was a year and a half old, you know? So there's definitely the periods of cluster feeding. And then when she was 15 months old, that's when we did the elimination diet because she had eczema and we were trying to figure out what foods she was allergic to.
Oh, I didn't remember why you lost supply or had less.
So we had done the elimination diet and because I was still breastfeeding, I had to do the elimination diet with her, which meant like eating basically just meat and rice. Is that all we ate? I think that was the start of like the unstuffed peppers
for the first 2 weeks,
ground Italian sausage and rice. Yeah, so it was probably in total two months or a month of just eating so clean.
Yeah, started off 2 weeks and then we started adding things in, I believe. Yeah,
but still very clean. Yeah. And I had lost weight and was just eating so clean that I like couldn't hit the calories needed for a nursing mom. Like I couldn't eat enough. I was trying, like I was eating foods,
you're not good at forcing yourself to eat either.
No, if I'm full, I'm done. So I started to lose weight and then, you know, my milk supply started to dry up and that's when I started drinking Ningxia because a friend of mine was like, this is what, you know, I use to support my breastfeeding journey.
And you at first had started like looking into either like oatmeals or like you looked at a bunch of other stuff and other people suggested it and they're like, hey, this works, this doesn't work. Like I felt like I looked a lot of those things up as well.
Truthfully, I thought it was all like stupid. I was like, I eat a well-balanced diet. Right. Like nothing is going to help my milk supply if it's not there. You know, like, I don't know. I believed that these companies were just targeting moms and I didn't believe it. That being said, I did look into like certain things, like I can't even remember off the top of my head, but like certain juices that could potentially help, like because like I tried to like surpass all these cookies and lactation supplements and stuff that people like promote now and go back to like the original, like what were people doing to support breastfeeding before all the
protein cookie
before marketing agencies existed. And you know, I didn't really try anything though. I was just, it happened so fast and I had never struggled with supply before that I was kind of just like coming to terms with like, okay, we've made it 15 months. Like yeah. if I dry up, it's kind of done. And it wasn't until, you know, Sarah had recommended this drink for me because it was like so easy.
And is she a registered dietitian?
Yeah. Okay. And so
that helps.
Right. And like, I just was like, why not? Like, I was like, she is recommending it. It'll be here in a couple of days. I'll give it a shot. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And it worked like immensely, which was crazy.
So it's interesting because I believe I was the first one to notice because you somehow have a terrible gauge of how your boobs look.
I know.
I don't know why.
Now I'm 20 weeks, almost 20 weeks pregnant. And you're like, your boobs are huge. I'm like, nah, they're normal. Then I'm like, my bra's really tight. Maybe he's right. I had taken it on like a Thursday. And by like Saturday, you were like, holy moly, your boobs are enormous. And I was like, no, they're not. You're ridiculous. And then by Monday, I was like leaking milk, which yeah. hadn't happened in months, like for such a long time. And I was like, oh my God, this is working. And like, that's what sent me down this like rabbit hole of now, like the whole family drinks Ningxia. And I think it's the greatest thing ever. And it's like, I recommend it to every single pregnant and nursing mom because I think like it worked. Right. It's just like, that's what's crazy about it. So I didn't want this to be like a Ningxia promotion episode, but
and I would say
it's a truthful part of our breastfeeding journey.
My vision on supplements is it's really tough to know if something works or not. Like if you don't have any metrics, like you can take fish oil, you can take liver oil, you can eat liver, you can eat this, you can eat that. And for me, I can usually tell something on like mental clarity and like physical performance and stuff like that. But a lot of other supplements, it's really hard to tell unless you do it like a science project on yourself. And for you, that science project was 3 days. And like, you could tell, like, that's just it. That's what it was.
And it was pretty cool because like, because we were doing the elimination diet, I had cut everything else yeah. out.
So all the
it
was processed like, food was gone.
It was so apparent that that's what it was, which was cool. It was very cool.
Next.
Okay. So this was our awesome journey, right? So 15 months, I got my milk supply back. I continued to breastfeed. Breastfeeding Adeline through the age of 2 was always my goal.
Can I interrupt?
Yeah.
When did you get teeth and did that ever hurt?
The teething was... So we went through all of the normal things that kids do, toddlers, babies do, which was getting teeth. She's still getting her back molar, so she's still got a set of teeth coming in. But for the most... And she was very affected by her teeth. And because we don't do like any over-the-counter medication, it was a lot of homeopathic remedies, natural ways of going about it, you know, cold fruit, stuff like that. And nursing was such a big part of our health journey for her. And it was always the answer when she was sick, when she was teething, it was always a source of comfort. And I don't know how I would have made it through those seasons without it because she got so much relief with nursing. But like, back to your question, she would bite. There was a biting episodes. There was pinching episodes. There's kicking episodes. Pinching other parts of my body. Like she used to grab my armpit and she would just sit there and pinch. And it would be like my armpit was raw by the end of the nursing session. A lot of it was basically redirecting. So I've heard horror stories of some moms that are like, I was bleeding. And I'm like, oh my God, if my kid bit that hard, I'd be like, never again.
Yeah.
But Adeline was pretty good as long as I didn't go like, because that would make her laugh. So then she wanted to keep biting. So it was strict. Terrible. Like, okay, you bit me. There was no warning. It was, we're done with nursing.
Gotcha.
You're done. And she quickly, very quickly learned.
Really?
Yeah.
That's good. Because I heard you scream a couple times.
I know. I just said I didn't scream. there's definitely times I was caught off guard. So we didn't, We didn't have a lot of, I mean, maybe three or four times she actually bit me. Okay. And then another thing is I also paid attention to her nursing. And when she started to slow down and you could tell she was like done actually getting milk, then I would, you know, be very cautious because that's when she gets bored and that's when she would start to play and bite.
Did you ever, just the motion, did you ever have to force the milk into her when you were breastfeeding her? Like you never had to do that?
No. Definitely like hand expressed into like the haka or a bottle or whatnot. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But no, she's always nursed herself.
Okay.
And then with the pinching and stuff, I would like try to wear like a necklace for her to play with, or that's kind of what started me always having a necklace on.
I thought that was a negative, but because you know, I'd always see her grab it, but now that makes sense.
Right. Some people will put like little pacifier toys or clips and like they can play with the toy. To just try to stop that. Cause that's pretty normal. I mean, like kids start to explore and then when they start to use their hands scratching, oh my God, she used to scratch too. I'd have to like keep those nails so trimmed cause it hurt so bad. But yeah, so we had a pretty normal, wonderful journey. And so I wanted to keep it going till 2 years. Previously the American Academy of Pediatrics, AAP, is that what it is? Recommended a year of breastfeeding and they, last year or 2 years ago switched it to 2 years because the benefits of breastfeeding through toddlerhood is insane. Just as important as it is for those first 12 months, they get so many benefits from the milk for the second 12 months.
What's in the second 12 months? You don't have to go through the list, but like, what are some of the,
so I truly don't know, like what's in your milk, like if I was to pull it apart, but the biggest thing is, from 12 months to 2 years, think of all of the development that's happening. They're now walking, they're exploring, they're, you know, getting their hands and everything. You're now going to play places. You're now playing with all these things. You're getting so much access to germs. So from 12 months to 2 years, that germ like intake is just magnified. Your tiny little like 0 to 12 month old. Yes, they're getting that nutrients, like the actual, like they need it to survive. That's their food source.
Mm-hmm.
But from 12 months to 2 years, that's so much of the germ fighting and the amount of immunities and vitamins and nutrients that they get from even just small amounts of milk. Like you're not having to feed 12 times a day anymore. Right. You feed once or twice a day. They're still getting those immunities from you and that immune support, which is so, so incredible. So like, that's why, especially, I mean, Adeline went through bouts of sickness and not only the emotional support that she got from us, but then also that immune support happening through toddlerhood. So once we got past that hiccup at 15 months, I started to eat food again and, you know, had Ningxia to support my breastfeeding journey. And we made it to 2 years. Obviously, the nursing sessions dwindled away. She led that. Like, she wasn't nursing, didn't need it in the morning. So we just were doing before bed for quite some time. We would do before nap time and before bed.
Oh, yeah. I used to just bring her to you in the morning and then you'd breastfeed her.
But not for like the past 6 months.
Yeah. I just forgot that in general.
But yeah, so then it wasn't like all of those feeds that we dropped along the way were very much initiated by her. Like we replaced it with a solid food meal, or she just wasn't eating a lot. So we kind of like got rid of that feeding because she didn't need it. And like, so it basically got down to just before bed, which was so, so much about the emotional attachment, that connection that we had, part of the nighttime routine. And that's why it lasted so long, because it's not necessarily that she needed the nutrients from me or the milk from me. It was that, like, it was part of routine. She got to cuddle with mom. It was a huge part of it. And that's why it kind of stuck around for as long as it did. So when, I mean, I think it's been like 6 months. That being said, during these 6 months, if she got sick, if she was breaking a tooth, if we were traveling, if she was stressed out, we always had nursing as an option, which was really nice. Yeah. Like being able to soothe her and like have these babies on demand whenever I want was really nice. It was a really cool part. But then eventually we kind of started like considering the fact that the breastfeeding would end soon, and that brings us to the weaning journey. But she just woke up, so let's pause this. And
yeah,
are we live?
We're live.
We're going. Okay, so the last time we talked, we basically talked about our whole...
Is this going to be a part two, or am I going to combine them?
You're going to combine them.
Ooh,
but magic. It's evident. You like start to hear Adeline crying at the end of the last one, us ignoring her for a couple minutes, and then...
So I'll just kind of like fade out into the silence, and then we'll just jump back in. Got it.
Yeah. So we talked about the whole basically breastfeeding journey that we had, like up until I got pregnant and started this concept of potentially weaning. So when I actually conceived, Adeline was 20 months old.
Oh, I was like, how did you, because we're at where we're at now. Gotcha.
Well, basically, yeah. So we are. So 20 months. So my goal was to breastfeed until 2 years because I had this like, it was just a goal. It was a lofty goal. And it wasn't like if I only made it to 15 months, like I previously talked about, like I would have been proud of that. Like I would have been okay with that. But I knew the benefits that like the immune support and like just all the other support that she was getting and emotional support and whatnot throughout this time was positive. And it was such a positive experience for us that I was like, okay, we're going to keep doing it. So we never really pushed food like or pushed her to like drop a feed or like we never really like forced her into anything ever during our breastfeeding journey. I felt like most of the time it would be like the very few times I would be like, okay, we have to offer her breakfast and then I'll feed her. But like I never took away a feed and like made her eat solid foods kind of deal.
What was the reasoning behind that? Was it because
I totally trusted Adeline to lead the way. Like when she was ready to not need milk or not have milk, I thought that she would do it. Like I felt like kids are very intuitive to what their needs are.
So do you think your body drying up and not being able to produce milk was your body's way of saying no thank you, or that was more just nutrient deficiency? Am I yelling? Do you think I'm yelling?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Adeline thinks you're yelling.
Is she awake?
No, but you're screaming. I don't know if you're yelling into the microphone.
I see the little green face line. To face. It hasn't hit yellow.
Okay, we'll turn it up then. I don't know. We don't need her waking up this early into the podcast. I missed your question.
So you stopped being able to breastfeed her
For the 15 months. Right. I think that was lack of calories and nutrient deficiency. Gotcha. Okay. Because I was doing the elimination diet for her.
Okay.
But I don't think it was my body's way of saying that you were done. Okay. If that were the case and like it, you know, it had happened, the elimination diet was important. We were going through like a medical problem. Like I said, I would have been okay with it, but my body continued. Okay. Like once I started to get the nutrients back in my body through Ningxia and
pumped
then
it
I
up. Yeah.
Got food back, I went right back to having a supply, which is really, really a positive thing. Like it could have been, I never got it back, but also I got it back in less, you know, I've always had enough for her. Yeah.
And she definitely was not eating a lot at that time.
Yeah. I would say honestly, from like a year and a half to 2 years, it wasn't like she was consuming an absorbent amount of calories through breast milk. Mm-hmm. I truly think it was that emotional aspect of breastfeeding with me. And then I also think it was an immune support. Like when she was sick, she nursed very frequently. When she was teething, she nursed very frequently. Like when she was stressed, like from travel, we nursed very frequently. So which brings us to like when I got pregnant, I got incredibly nauseous. And another time, so this is interesting, another time of severe malnourishment and nutrient deficiency. In 4 months, I lost 15 pounds.
Oh, what were you today?
I'm going up in weight.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, I think I like gained 4 pounds since in a month. So we're back on the
upswing of things. We're only down 10 pounds.
But yeah, so I got pregnant at she was 20 months. By 21 months, I was hit with severe nausea and I continued to breastfeed her for 3 more months, battling severe nausea to the point where I had lost 15 pounds.
Yeah.
And like my body was still producing enough milk that she was getting milk. Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, I think that might have encouraged the weaning.
Oh, and that's why she probably started picking up eating more. She probably was hungrier.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there was a lot to it, but
yeah.
Before we talk about like the details of the weaning, I got a lot of questions about like trying to conceive, and because a lot of people have trouble.
Well, this is, this is where I come in.
A lot of people have trouble. Well, first off, like some people are breastfeeding, they breastfeed up to 2 years and they don't get their period back, which like I'm so jealous of. I got my period back when I was 5 months postpartum, despite nursing around the clock still at right, 5 months. Like I was exclusively breastfeeding. I was exclusively breastfeeding even at night. It's not like we weaned at all. Bam, I got my period back. I was so bummed about
that. I always thought that when you were breastfeeding that you couldn't get your period back because your body's like, hey, we don't want to get you pregnant again, so on and so forth. And then I did zero research. Like, this is just what I heard.
But it's harder to get pregnant because your body does know that you're feeding another child. But that being said, like, people breastfeed into toddlerhood, into like past toddlerhood, and they still continue like that. Think back to like,
they still continue to what? To still have periods or to not have periods?
You have to have your period to, I don't even know if that's true, but you want to get your period back so that you can get pregnant again.
Right.
And people were having kids, and lots of people tandem nurse and had, a toddler and a newborn.
Really?
Oh yeah. Tons of people tandem nurse. Yeah.
Who do we know anybody? Well, I guess you probably see a lot more people on the social media.
Social media. I'm trying to think personally if I know. I think I'm thinking a friend of a friend that I remember nursed her toddler who was like 2.5 when they had a newborn.
I feel like that would create some animosity, like one standing up and trying to push the other one off your food.
That's one of the questions that people had asked. So I want to get back to the trying to conceive. Would I have weaned to try to conceive? No, I don't. I would personally not have done that. I would wait if I had not gotten pregnant. If I was struggling to get pregnant at this point in time, I would have been okay with not conceiving.
Okay.
And I would have finished out until Adeline weaned, and then I would have gone to get pregnant because her emotions and the support of her, and I did not want weaning for us to be a negative process. Yeah. So that was my quick answer to that.
I'd say we're very much about the, what did you just say? You didn't want to be a negative process. Not that we want something to be easy on her or me or you.
Yeah.
But generally we want, okay, what would be the best outcome? And like, let's try to not make this a negative experience. Not saying that we need to appease or bait. Baby. I don't think I'm using that correctly. Not that we need to pacify her or something like that. But it's just, we're looking for a certain type of response and we want it to be a positive one.
Yeah. Yeah. So I wouldn't have, but you did bring up a good point about the tandem feeding. That was another question that I was bombarded with when I announced my pregnancy, because I was still fully breastfeeding Adeline, and the thought of feeding both of them was not high on my list of things I wanted to do in life. But had it been, had we not had a good opportunity to successfully wean Adeline by the time the newborn was here.
Right.
Yes, I would have tandem fed.
That would have been wild.
It would have been wild. And especially knowing Adeline, and it's so much of that emotional connection. It was so much the emotional connection that I feel like it would have been an absolute shit show. Because every single time, even when we had friends over with their newborns, like, of course, they're feeding their newborns like every, a couple hours. Adeline's like, oh, milk. And I was like, no, honey, we don't eat this often, you know, but she saw other kids doing it. And she was like, boobies, like, I want the boobies. Like, I love the boobies. So I feel like,
are you English now? Boobies. Boobies.
So I feel like it would have been awful had we been. And I still think it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment when the newborn comes. I think Adeline's all of a sudden going to be like, oh, I miss doing that. And now we've got
6 months?
4.5 months?
I have no idea.
Oh my God. We're so, it's going by so fast, like 4 months until the baby's coming.
Quick question. What happened today when she asked for milk? Did you get her a glass of milk? Like, what did she end up doing?
I did give her a glass of milk.
And she drank it?
Poured it in my coffee. That's why she was asking for milk. Because she thinks my creamer is milk.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
So that's what the whole spill in the other room was her dumping in my coffee and then throwing her Tonys in the coffee too. You know.
That's hilarious. I was so, I'm like, did she drink the milk? I don't think she drinks the milk.
She doesn't. We'll get into that, but yeah. We didn't do any milk or anything. Okay, so those are the quick questions about
where are these people asking you these questions?
Oh, on Instagram, like crazy. Those were the two when even it was like, guys, I'm pregnant. And everyone was like, are you going to tandem feed? Like,
really?
So many people had questions about the feeding. And okay. I think it was a good question because truthfully, I would have. And I think like a lot of people might be looking for either justification in like, yeah, I want to keep feeding my toddler. I'm not ready to wean. Like, yeah. And I'm giving you that justification. Like if you're listening to this and you're like, my toddler's not ready to wean, you don't have to. There's nobody beating you over the head.
Who, other than like social norms where people will say, oh, you need to stop feeding your baby. Like you need to wean them. Is there any medical reasons to wean them? Like what are people saying?
That's a really good question. So obviously I'm not a medical professional, but few different things.
Okay.
People will tell you that the baby's not getting enough nutrients while you're pregnant. So like I've had women say that their doctors told them to stop nursing during pregnancy because the baby's not getting as much, which I think is it understudied and I would not agree being a professional. Yeah. And then another one is the same thing. Like it can affect your milk supply, like postpartum. You want to make sure that the newborn's getting their milk. So typically like what they'll say is just make sure you feed the newborn first, you know, like feed the newborn, then feed the toddler.
Yeah.
If you are tandem feeding. And even people who support tandem feeding will say that to feed the newborn first.
Okay.
Cause they're getting their sole amount of calories. They're also going to eat a lot less.
Yeah.
So then it's like the toddler has free reign after that. And then, absolutely. Overall, I think that breastfeeding takes so much from you. It takes mental like room up. Like I feel like your mental, emotional and physical, like you are feeding, you're giving nutrients away. And to go, I think we talked to our midwives the first time around about breastfeeding because I'm going from I conceived in what 2021, the beginning of 2021. I have been nourishing a human nonstop and now it's going to be 2024. So for 3 years nonstop, body will not get a break. Yeah. Yes. My body is run down. Absolutely. Which is more of a reason that like, yes, at some point it might be medically necessary for you to stop breastfeeding because you're so run down, but just do your best to support it and like feed it good food and fuel it and, you know, in any way possible.
We can fact check this, but I think it's anywhere from you're burning 200 to 300 calories a day while breastfeeding, or is it each session?
Oh, I have absolutely no idea. All right.
I'll Google it while you're... But what I was going to say is, if you look at all the other stuff you do that burns that many calories, like if you're doing that multiple times or you're adding that to the day, you're going to get more tired, you're going to get more run down, and you have to replenish those things. So if you're not doing it well, then like it is going to be a drain. Like you said, you're working. And for a long time, still sometimes I'm like, oh, you're just going to breastfeed. Like you get to hang out, you get to chill. I don't give you enough credit. we'll
Two
just
years
say it.
Later. Right. Can you say that louder for the people in the back?
No, I'm going to just cut that part out. There's no evidence. But yeah, there's a lot going on that your body has to do that you have to do, and if it's not able to refuel like when you were sick, like that's even tougher because it's not like you can just lay down and relax because you're not getting in those extra calories. You still have to provide for Adeline, and that's coming from everywhere.
Right, your body is pulling it from any reservoir that you have.
I'm gonna check that
reminds me of when Well, that's good because I'm going to tell a story. That reminds me of when we got COVID, when we were like 3 months postpartum, or was it 3 weeks? I don't know. Addie was young. It was 3 months. I felt like...
Because I could still take care of her.
Yeah. And I feel like 3 weeks, it would have been... Wait, she would have been so tiny. But anyways, 3 months postpartum.
Easy for you to say.
You got COVID first, and you had it for like a good chunk of time.
8-9 days.
Yeah. But like, and it was like you were run down and obviously sick, like really sick. And then I got it at like 8 p.m. and it was like the most horrendous thing I've ever experienced. Like, I just gave birth to a human like 3 months ago, and it was nothing. I was literally shivering, but like burning hot. My skin hurt
so much.
And I was having muscle aches, like whole body aches, where like it just hurt so much to exist. So I would like get in the tub to try to like relieve that. But then I would be so tired that I'd be falling asleep. And then I'd get out of the tub and like my muscles would hurt again. It was ridiculously awful. And then on top of it, I was throwing up like crazy. So I'm like in the bathroom throwing up, but like peeing everywhere because I'm 3 months postpartum and my pelvic floor is like totally shot. It was horrendous. I remember like, and Adeline was still eating like every 3 to 4 hours at that point. Well, so and I remember you brought her to me and I was like, out because my skin hurt. It hurt to touch, it hurt to hold her, and I'm like sitting there sobbing feeding her, and I was just like, you don't get a break. Like, this is 100% me 100% of the time.
Well, and up until that point I was suffering on the couch, probably watching Netflix, still in pain obviously. But when you started saying like, oh, I'm not feeling well, like I think it was like, I don't feel well, and then shortly thereafter you were puking. And
oh my
then,
god,
and
it then was like,
yeah,
0 to 10. I hit me at like, I remember 8 p.m because then I also remember by 8 a.m I was fine again. Yeah,
and I was back on the couch like, thank god.
She was sick for 12 hours. Oh my Lanta. Okay, so
let's go back to the fun.
In addition to all of the other changes going on throughout pregnancy and like all of that, and talking about the your milk also changes a ton through pregnancy. So by the time the baby comes, like, I have to have colostrum ready for baby to go.
So is there just two different milks, or it's just constant? Like, I don't know how that works.
So potentially it can dry up. Some people lose their supply completely, but like towards right now, like mid pregnancy, okay, and then it prepares, you know, to create colostrum. So that's another huge thing that could have affected. I don't really necessarily know, because it wasn't like Adeline was ever like feeding and asking me for milk, which was happening months ago when we had the problem with the dry milk. But it could have been like, maybe my supply was dwindling and that's why she was like, oh, mom's got less, I'm going to eat more food, I'm not as hungry. Like, they could have totally influenced us. I don't know. It's not like I measure how much I'm outputting.
Right. What's going on with your boobs now? What's in there?
My boobs are just getting ready to produce.
Like, they're doing calisthenics, they're doing exercise. Like, what do you mean by your boobs are getting ready?
I don't know. I'm not a boob expert. They're what I would imagine is like, there's fat spores that hold, or like milk ducts that like they're
filling up with milk.
I don't think so. No.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
They're probably like getting I don't know. I have no clue. This is a ridiculous question. As in, like, how the heck am I supposed to know the answer? Not that it didn't have anything to do with this podcast. So yeah, I think that there was a lot of changes happening within my body that obviously affect our breastfeeding journey. But one of the biggest things for me was that my nipples, I don't know, maybe 2-3 months in, got so sensitive, and I was so angry every time Adeline would feed.
I didn't put that together. It was when you were pregnant. Interesting.
Oh my god. I was so angry.
Okay.
Every time, especially if she would ask for it at like an odd time and it wasn't like before bed, because like mentally I could be ready for that, and then I would just sit there and I would suffer, and I'd be like, oh my god, I hate this, I cannot wait for you to be done. Like, I I had the worst thought, not like about Adeline, but like I just hated the experience. And yes, this lasted like a month and a half, 2 months. But unfortunately, it was like mid when we went to Hawaii. So like we have a stressful event. We're going to Hawaii. We came home. We got plagued with sickness in our house. She was desperate for like, you know, the emotional support and whatnot. So it wasn't even like, oh, we're starting to wean, my boobs hurt, like, let's keep weaning. It was like, no, mom's nipples hurt and we're going to full force start nursing around the clock. Like, she was nursing on the airplane for 2 hours straight. Like, just had my nipple in like a pacifier, like she was a newborn. Mm-hmm. It was brutal.
Yeah. Well, generally, I remember like
in Hawaii, I was crying. Yeah. I remember like sitting there crying because it hurt so bad.
Yeah. Like the first time when she started latching, it kind of looked like that, like on your face. And then it seemed like you would just like ease into the pain and you're just like, all right, this is where it is.
See, maybe I blacked it out, but I don't ever remember it being painful. Like maybe a little shocking, but like this time
I would say more shocking.
Painful, but not even just painful. Just the negative feelings that I had toward breastfeeding, I had never had before. I just remember thinking to myself, like, because some women experience this right off the bat and they're like, breastfeeding's not for me. I've gone through this. And I'm like, if this is what was going through my head, I wouldn't be able to do it either. Like, what? Hated it. I hated every second of it. I dreaded it. I would work myself up so much that I like wanted to like throw up. Like, I was so uncomfortable and so annoyed. And I remember like I couldn't even talk. Like I was like physically, you know, like when you get so annoyed that you just want to like punch something, like you're so pent up. Like that's how I felt.
I don't get that, Jess.
Go drive.
Probably go get some candy. So when I had a good question, what were we just talking about?
How painful it was.
Oh, so you did it for a month, even though this was super painful. How did you keep going after the first couple times?
Honestly, I think I would have been like, peace out. I'm totally done with this. This sucks. But it was right in the midst of like crazy events. We were on our way to Hawaii when it like first started hitting me. Because like obviously the first few days you're like, oh, you know, something's going on. Like I'm pregnant. My nipples are going to be sensitive. Yeah. It'll pass. And then it was like we're in Hawaii and then she wasn't sleeping. And then we got home and she was sick. And then we were like re-sleep training. And I was like, it's not a good time to wean her because we're sleep training. And like it was just so many big stressful events happening in her life that I was like, I can't do it. And like, I chose the pain and discomfort over it. Like I don't know. Like I just had it in me to choose Adeline over me. But if it had been a normal, like we were home and think she was comfortable and felt safe and sleeping, other ways, I would have been done.
Okay.
1,000%. It was the most excruciating.
Cause I know you experience. Were talking about it, like, hey, we need to wean her. And then like a bunch of stuff happened and I was like, or do you still need to wean her? Like, what? I didn't want to say anything.
Right. Which I'm interested in, like, before we keep moving on, what your thoughts are. Because, like, I mean, most of our friends, A, either didn't breastfeed or breastfed for, like, a year or maybe a year and a half. Like, they were well done by the time their kid was two. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, because you and I told you I wanted to wean. You were like, why? You know, like you were like flabbergasted by it. Like, so I'm curious on your thoughts because it's not like you're like an expert in breastfeeding. Like,
so for me, my biggest concern at the time was getting enough calories and nutrients in for Adeline because, yes, rice and ground beef and like, because what she was eating at the time may not have been the most nutrient dense as far as calories go. So I thought milk was a phenomenal supplement for her for an already very good diet. Now, if she was eating garbage and you wanted to stop breastfeeding, I'd been like, yeah, that's fine because you don't need to supplement like a bad diet. You just need to improve the bad diet. But I thought we were more or less peaking on everything, and yet she was still underweight. So I wanted to make sure that there wasn't any harm for her development. So that, okay, that's what I was thinking.
Interesting. And along the journey of like 2 years of breastfeeding, because I've always been very open about it, and like, I don't use a cover, and I would, you know, discreetly pull my boob out anywhere we were at the pool, on the beach, in the airport, on the airplane, at your mom's house, at my mom's house. Like, I never felt embarrassed, yeah, or not even embarrassed, but I was just very open about it. I was okay with
yeah,
what I was doing, and very comfortable in what I was doing.
How did you feel about that? Well, to make a long story medium, when we first started dating, you only had thong bikinis. No,
that's a real big exaggeration. No,
really?
I mean,
those are the only ones I remember seeing.
I've never worn a thong
bikini. Well, okay, no. So I guess
what is trending right now is legitimately thong bikinis.
Okay, so I would say my representation is a suit. You definitely weren't wearing dental floss. Like, that's not, I guess that's not the thong bikini I'm thinking. Whatever bikinis.
I wore cheeky, a little bit more exposing.
Yes.
Bottoms.
Yes.
And tops. Like, my boobs were kind of like flopping around all the time. I was also 21. Come on.
And also you had like the jean shorts where your butt would hang out and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And at first I had a thought of definitely not property. But it was more of like a, hey, like, you're mine. Other people don't need to see you like that. Or I don't know if embarrassment's the correct word, but whatever my feeling around was, like, hey, like, people shouldn't be seeing you like that. And then as I grew as a child, and my thought process evolved, I was trying to figure out why that mattered. And I think I was worried about what other people's thoughts were. And then when I broke that down more, I was like, why does what they think matter? Because you enjoyed what you were wearing, because you weren't trying to get with anybody else. You weren't trying to like show off, like, to get other guys or whatever. You were happy and you enjoyed what you were wearing. Mm-hmm. And that was new to me, like, understanding that, like, you just enjoyed doing what you were doing. It wasn't for any other intent. So then when it came to breastfeeding, I was just like, she's feeding her baby. Other people can be like, ooh, that's weird. And now I think less of other people's opinions than I think I ever have in my life before. Because if I think something is a certain way, like, that is still my opinion. But if somebody else thinks it's weird, like, that's on them. Like, their own opinions are on them. They shouldn't be pushed on you. And I think that was still a long story.
No, I think that's good. I think it's true though, too. Like, I think there are going to be people who are uncomfortable with it. And
so just for the people that are uncomfortable with it, why do you find it why do you think they would find it uncomfortable? Because for me, when people would breastfeed, I would just be like, oh, that's like a very sexualized part of a woman, like, and now it's just like out. Kind of, it was weird to me growing up, because that's just what breastfeeding was. It was kind of weird and not really ever talked about. Like, is there a reason why you would think it's weird other than that?
Well, that's a lot of different questions. So what I initially think about is like our friends who were breastfed. So our best friends, Jack and Corey, breastfed all three of their kids, and their little girl will come up to me while I'm breastfeeding. She's 4 and a half now, and be like, oh, Autumn.
Oh,
and
we'll
be like, what are you? You're feeding the baby. Like, it's, she understands,
yeah,
like, this is feeding the baby, and like, my boob does it. And like, it's just so natural. It is literally the most natural thing that could possibly happen.
Yeah.
So like, it's so important, like for Adeline, or not for Adeline, well, for Adeline to be exposed, but for those kids to have like understood this is what breastfeeding is. Like they see their aunts and uncles do it. They see me do it. They see mom do it with the younger siblings. Like that's just a part of what it is. And I feel like for a long time, it was shamed and looked down upon to have your boob out in public because of societies and like what society was telling these women.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like people weren't, and they never saw it.
Gotcha.
And they never, it is weird. It's so weird the first time you see a woman whip out their boob, because you're like, wow, I it's not something I see every day, which it should be. Like, we are surrounded by, we need more women's nipples. We are surrounded by kids.
Yeah.
And if you're not, then that's fine. Then you're not going to see a breastfeeding mom.
Yeah.
You know, like then if you're not surrounded by kids, you won't be in that situation and you won't be uncomfortable. But if you are surrounding yourself with kids and family and, you know, you're going to have a breastfeeding mom most likely. And if she feels more comfortable covering up, I think that's fine. It's not like I'm sitting out there with like both my nipples, like just like waiting for my toddler to run up. It's like you take your boob out discreetly.
Yeah.
The baby latches on. Maybe they pull off. It's okay. Like, I don't know. Like for me, I was like, it's a boob. Like my baby's obviously eating. I don't know. And I never really did the cover because it was like, Adeline would be like kicking it and like she just didn't eat well under a cover. And I never, like, for the first little bit, I just never did, because we were at home or we were at like a family member's house, and I was like, really, why should I? Like, what's the point of taking that extra step? And then by the time I felt like maybe we flew to Florida, I could have covered up, like, if I wanted to make other people comfortable. But why? Like, why put me and Adeline in a more uncomfortable situation?
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting, because just because somebody's uncomfortable, like, you're definitely not like pushing in people's face, but it'd be interesting if you could ask advocates for open breastfeeding, like, why do you think other people don't? And like, or people that used to be like, not necessarily against it, but like didn't really understand it. I would want to see what that switch was.
Truthfully, I think it's exposure. So like me breastfeeding in the open on an airplane might be the first time that, you know, a bunch of people were around breastfeeding and they might have been like, oh, weird, like that woman's breastfeeding. But then they see a woman at the park breastfeeding and they're like, oh, weird, that woman's breastfeeding. And they see four more women and all of a sudden it's not weird. Now they're just like, hey, that person's breastfeeding.
Yeah.
I've seen it 100 times.
I wonder if we have friends in other countries, I wonder what they would say about breastfeeding. I wonder if it's more open in other cultures. Probably dependent on the culture.
Very. Especially like if you're thinking about, you know, cultures that cover up completely.
Right.
Like I can't imagine that it's probably a very private event.
Mm.
Seems as like is
an Instagram question.
Yeah. Luckily, I mean, I've never had a bad experience breastfeeding in public. I've never had anybody say anything to me.
Have you ever experienced what's been the negativity or things you wish I knew during your breastfeeding journey?
Oh,
unless you have another.
No, place I will. You want I want head. To talk about like our final days of breastfeeding, but this is a good question. So much.
I thought you were saying I can't think of anything.
I can't think of anything. No, it's so much because breastfeeding, like you said, I feel like you're like, oh, you're gonna go up and breastfeed, and it's happy-go-lucky, wonderful. But I feel like it's so hard for you to understand. And I felt like this with like the sleep thing too, which is like, we'll talk about that later. But now you're experiencing like getting up in the middle of the night and all that fun stuff.
Love it.
So I feel like this is something that you've gotten to experience a little bit, but breastfeeding, it's not just the breastfeeding. It's the calories being taken out of you. It's the energy being taken out of you. I mean, I can't remember, but people like will post statistics about like how much energy you burn doing it. Not necessarily, I don't necessarily know if it's like related to calories, but like it physically is taking energy from me. I'm tired after doing it. And especially when you're nursing around the clock. I mean, now nursing a toddler like once or twice a day isn't really like exhausting.
Yeah.
But then there's like the mental aspect of it. There's the emotional aspect of it. Like every little bit as we've moved through this, we've had different challenges and different pressures, and that's exhausting, the emotional side of it. And then it being me as the sole caregiver in terms of like, I'm the only one that can feed her. I'm the only one that can soothe her. I'm the only one that can get her to sleep. That all of that weighing down on you. It was so much more than like, oh, I'm breastfeeding. Like, it was so much more than that. And I feel like also, so that was like the big thing is like, I just don't feel like you understand the magnitude. And I don't think that it's even possible. It's like trying to get you to understand how much, you know, what giving birth is like. Like, you can witness it, you can see it, but you're never going to experience it. Right. So like, to say breastfeeding, like, it's not your place to understand.
Could I respond to the what you're saying?
Yeah, but then I have another thing to add to that list.
So I think where your opinion of that comes from is whenever you do tell me something, I am looking to improve the situation. So not that I don't agree with you or not that I don't understand, but when you come telling me these things, I absolutely agree that they're happening. But sometimes I focus on too much of the, hey, all I'm hearing is negative things. You
only ask me for negatives, not positives.
I know there's positive things, but if we're overly talking about the negative things, then you don't hear the, I get to be the only one that puts her to bed. I get to be the only one that can feed her. I am the only one that gets to soothe her. Now, you do say those things to yourself.
That's funny because it's so true that you say that, because like right immediately postpartum, like you did try to soothe her and like, I'd be like, no, she's mine. Like I wanted her. I agree. And I'm a control freak. And I feel like you did try to put her to sleep, but then when you weren't doing it the right way, I intervened. And that was definitely my mistake. But I guess my overarching thing...
I was apologizing.
Oh, weird. No, because now I feel like I need to apologize. My overarching thing was like, I just don't think you understand the magnitude. And my second thing that I wanted to add to that was, I think that in those first days, you did such a good job of like appreciating the magnitude of it, right? Like postpartum, I'm breastfeeding around the clock. I'm malnourished. You constantly made sure I had water. You constantly brought me food. You do anything while I was breastfeeding to like help. Now you still do 2 years later, but it's like a little bit more, I don't think you appreciate helping me in that way. Like, she's doing this incredible thing for our child and, you know, nourishing her, but like, oh, I'm gonna like go fill up your water. I don't know. Like, that's at least how I felt. God, his face, guys. I wish you gotta go watch the YouTube video and just look at his face. Oh man. I felt like it was less appreciated as time went on. It's kind of like, when we first started, it was like, well, since I'm breastfeeding around the clock, you change the diapers. But now it's like, oh, we split diapers 50-50, but I was still 100% doing breastfeeding, you know. Mm-hmm. Stop looking at me. This is like remember when I'm talking about like you're ready to fume and you need to punch something? Like, I can see the vein coming out in your head.
No, I feel good about it. I feel good about it. I think it's important that just because you have a thought doesn't make it true. So there was a lot of times that I was doing all these things for you where it was just like, well, like this doesn't get Jessica being nice to me, or this doesn't get like any gratitude for Jessica, or this doesn't do this, but I'm just whining, being a baby. Like, if I could be like, hey, Alexander, you're doing a good job, and like say that to myself, that like that would be big. So,
but you didn't, in those initial like postpartum days, you didn't look for any gratitude.
No, because like I felt like I was killing it. But then like if I ever doubted myself, mm-hmm. and then you weren't being like super nice to me, which happens, then I would look at you for the reason why to be upset.
Yeah.
And generally, like if I'm in a good mood and if I'm in a good place, like you can be breastfeeding, having a terrible time, not sleep at all, and like you don't yell at me, like, but you can just be short with me, and I'm like, yeah, that's fine, like I understand. But if I'm not in a good place, or if I'm not more or less loving myself, then I'm gonna get mad at you for not replacing that for me. So I mean, still now as we talk about it, like you've been not sleeping for the last 3 years and not eating well and barely working out and going, and the sun's out there, by the way, if you want to say, if you want to wave to it. And like, if I look at my life, like it's phenomenal. But if I'm having a down day, then I'll look to you to blame for that.
Yeah.
What did I get mad at you for today? Fuck. I don't remember what it was. So we can move on.
I don't know. It was really early in the day though. Still eating breakfast. Okay, we have to get to the actual weaning, because that's okay. The whole point of this podcast and why people are listening, and we're like
I thought you just wanted to get mad at me.
Okay, so Adeline, I started to notice maybe like a week before her birthday, which is like, you know, we got home from Hawaii, things settled down, she stopped feeding so frequently, was back to just feeding before nap and bedtime, but I noticed that it was like so much shorter. And I remember saying, like, it's so short. Like, sometimes it's a couple minutes.
Yeah,
sometimes,
I'd be very surprised.
Yeah, like, and she would just be ready and I would rock her and then lay her down kind of deal. And I was like, I'm new to this. I've never weaned a child before. But I feel like she's decreasing the amount that she's eating. Like, I could actively tell where, like, previously, like, I don't know, she would just eat until she fell asleep or something.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, we were just feeding before nap and bed, and though that was a big part of the routine, like that's really what would, like that sucking motion is really what soothed her and helped her fall asleep. So she mm-hmm. would get really, really sleepy, and then I'd lay her down and I, you know, she'd be able to fall asleep on her own.
Yeah.
And it was just a big part of it. So like when we got to like the last day of breastfeeding, which was actually, I want to say her birthday.
We can go look at the video, but you definitely cried one night. It was before her birthday where you thought it was the last day, no, but then there was more. So like that video was not her birthday. It was beforehand, but then you're like, I thought it was going to be my last time. Then she did ask for milk.
Yeah.
So like, I think it could be 2 years on the dot.
Yeah. I think that it was, because I'm pretty sure I want to say it was like the night before her birthday that we were like, I was putting her down and waiting, or I started to see signs of weaning, I was like, crap, we got to add some other stuff to our bedtime routine so that she like associates it. So I mean, like obviously we usually do a bath and then like we put her in put lotion on and put her in pajamas, and she likes to rub the essential oils on the bottom of her feet, and like that's all routine.
Yeah.
But for me it was just like minuscule, like breastfeeding main event, like, and it just felt like that was the main event. Yeah. To get her sleepy. So I was like, okay, from now on you put the red light bulbs in her room. We turned on the red light instead of overhead lights. We like grabbed books and we read books and we really settled down. And then like I went to feed her that one night, and I was just sitting there like holding her, and she wasn't asking for milk. And I was like,
right.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And then I started to sing like, "You Are My Sunshine," and was just like sobbing. And then finally she was like, "Milk?" And I was like, okay. So I fed her that night. And that was, yeah. I want to say the night before her birthday, because I was like, this is it. That's why I thought it was her birthday, because we had celebrated that Sunday. with everybody.
Yeah, I forgot that party. That wasn't her birthday.
No, yeah. So it was the next day. It was her birthday, and she woke up, and we went about our normal thing. And I think that I fed her for her nap time for her birthday. And then when bedtime came, we did the same thing, the red light. We read some books. And then I said, do you want me to just hold you and snuggle you? And she said, yes. So I was holding her and snuggling and singing to her. And I was a little bit more prepared because the night before. And then she said, back, because our new thing was like, I'd rub her back while she was in the crib. And I was like, she just skipped it. Like mm-hmm. she 100% skipped it. So laid her down and put her in her crib and like kept singing to her and rubbed her back. And she fell asleep without feeding. And like I said, it was like for a week, she was eating for like a minute. Like sometimes she'd be like, and then just look at me. Like she'd keep my nipple in her mouth to be like, we're still having this intimate moment, mom. But she wasn't eating. And it was like by the night before her birthday, it was the same thing. It was like, she literally didn't even suck. She just like put the nipple in her mouth and like sat there. And I was like, okay, well, I feel like, yeah. If I keep this going, it's, you know, it's not necessary. So, I want to say I posted like right away. I was like, guys, she didn't feed last night. Like we're done breastfeeding, but I didn't talk about it it's been 2 weeks of not breastfeeding now. And I have been hesitant to talk about it. Cause I was like, I kept waiting for her to be, oh, Molly's dreaming and whimpering below me. I kept waiting for her to be like, oh no, I want it.
Right.
And she didn't for like the first
week. Were you wanting her to get back on?
No. But I just, if she was like demanding it and screaming and crying and like, you know, then I feel like I would have, because it was such a huge part of it and we were soothing, like, I don't know what I would have done. And I didn't want to like have this whole conversation about like the process of weaning and how it was for us. And then like to be like, oh, well, joke's on you guys. Update. We went back. So I just kind of waited it out and like really digested that this is, I mean, I had been doing it every single day for 2 years. Like to not have that be a part of our day was huge. Mm-hmm. And it was a big change. And it would like really did take time to digest it and figure it out. But looking now, like at our routine really didn't change that much. Like we still do the bath. We put her lotion on. We put her in her pajamas. We rub the oils on her feet, or she does. We go and we have the red light. We read books. We usually read 2 books a night. You get to be a part of the routine now, which is nice. And then I love to sit down and to ask her what her favorite part of the day was. Usually involves a fish or boat, neither of which we ever really do.
Sometimes there's fish involved. We see fish at the library.
Okay, well, she always talks about the fish. But it's just so fun to hear her talk about things. And then she'll tell me, like, just random things that you guys did or we did. And then I tell her things that I love about her and, like, what I enjoyed watching her do.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to, like, replace that intimacy, which she might... I mean, obviously, I'm holding her. We're snuggled. We're cuddled up. So obviously, she feels the physical intimacy that she did breastfeeding still. But I feel like that like conversation with her is so important too for my sake. That intimacy with her to like have to tell her how much I love her, because before, before it really was like, I didn't have to tell her how much I loved her. Like I was giving her part of my body every single day. Like that intimacy from breastfeeding was enough. And now I feel like I have to like tell her, like, I love you so much. Like I love when you smile. I love all this stuff. And I'm thinking like I should have been doing that all along. it's a great little habit to have before bed. But it was definitely like for her, I think the easiest transition. Like, I don't think she batted an eye. Like, I don't think that she ever felt like I'm missing out on mom.
No.
Yeah. I don't think that, like, she was ever, like, hungry or looking for milk. I feel like she still had that emotional connection. But I feel like for me, it was a little harder. A little harder to get by.
Yeah.
But I love now, because now for both nap time and bedtime, there is no breastfeeding. for the first time in 2 years, anybody can put her down. Like, I can put her down. You've been able to put her down. You've been able to go. Now in the middle of the night, she calls out for dada and mama gets to sleep and you go in there and like you just sit with her till she falls back asleep. Yeah. Like,
well, the first week I slept in a room.
But I just feel like that's been such a relief. I mean, like, I'm in my second trimester pregnant. Like, I don't want to be sitting in there in the middle of the night or like, you know, bent over rubbing her back in the crib. Like, my bump is in the way. I'm like trying to rub her back. Like, so I felt like it was a really good time for it to happen. And because it happened so like flawlessly, it's such a good experience. Right. I'm really also very happy that it didn't happen when I was having all of those negative feelings, because I felt like it would have been such a rough ending that I would have like come to regret.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy that like we kind of got past that and it was back to like being a good breastfeeding was another positive experience again. And then we were able to wean. I wish I didn't have to go through those negative feelings. Like, that was like the worst month of ever, but I'm glad that.
So towards the end, did you know you still had the pain, but just no longer the feelings?
No, so my nipples are still very sensitive, but it wasn't painful and I didn't have feelings of like wanting to explode while I was breastfeeding her. Gotcha. At all.
Okay.
I want to say that stopped a little before, maybe during our recovery from sickness after Hawaii, like it went away and I didn't have these feelings of like absolute hatred.
Well, the feelings went away, but the physical stuff also went away.
A little bit. Like, it got a little bit easier. Gotcha. So I think that there was just a lot of hormonal shifts happening within the first trimester.
Yeah.
That was why my nipples were so sensitive.
I forget about those things sometimes.
I know you do. It's hard. It's hard to remember. But yeah, so I mean, these past couple of weeks of like adjusting to the new norm has been really, really easy for us, which is such a nice thing. Like, it's just so great that it gets to be a positive experience, because I know like not everybody's situation is like that. And I didn't envision it. Like, I just really saw Adeline holding on for dear life, like not wanting to give it up. So her being okay with this process was just like really, really relieving for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, I was hit hard with the hormonal, like not just being emotional about it, but also like my hormones were out of whack. I had mood swings. I had like my nausea was going up and down that week, these past couple of weeks. My acne, I thought it was pregnancy related, but like a lot of people said that happened when they weaned, just covered my whole face, covered in acne. It was rough.
Go watch the last video. You'll know what we're talking about.
My boobs are also, like, these past couple of weeks have gotten humongous. And I know, obviously, with pregnancy, but it's also, like, you know, could be some sort of, like, it's, oh, we're no longer feeding a child. Mm-hmm. Like, figuring out the supplies and stuff. But now, finally, like, a couple of weeks later, I feel like I'm, like, a little more settled and kind of adjusted and can, like, really... Yep.
Prepare for the next.
Yeah, prepare to start this all again in 4 months. Oh man, we've learned a lot and it's been a great journey. And it's so weird. I think that's like the hardest part about being a mom in general is like normally you don't get to know it's the last time. Mm-hmm. You know, like the last time that like Adeline needed us to rock her to sleep, or the like last time she had her pacifier, or the last time, you know, you just don't get to really know that. And then you look back and you're like, wow, oh my God. Like, you know, you don't know. And then things change and it just becomes a new norm. And like for this process, it was like so evident. Like, we are packaging, closing this door, tying a ribbon. I'm gonna use lots of idioms together. Like, this part of our journey is done completely. Like, there's no going back to breastfeeding now for Adeline. And it's weird. It's a weird thing to just like understand that we're at the end of something and being okay with it. Like, that's hard and weird.
Well, I love you for doing this all for us.
I love you too.
Any more questions?
No, a lot of emotions. This is a lot. It's a lot to relive. 2 years.
Yeah. We'll do this again.
Thanks so much for listening to this week's episode. Head to the show notes to access all of our organizational tools like our household planner and checklists. And make sure to follow on Instagram, TikTok, or YouTube at Jessica Haseman.
Oh, and leave us a rating or review. We appreciate your support.